हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौभुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So continuing Mahabharata in the section on Bhagavad Gita. So then Krishna is explaining to Krishna about his opulences. My opulence is limitless, O Arjuna. I shall therefore tell you only of that which is most prominent. Krishna explained that although everything was the manifestation of his energy and power, he would highlight for Arjuna some principal features by which he could be remembered. Right? See, because everything's expanding from God, it's all his energies. That means everything is actually his potency. But of that, because we're working on such a day-to-day thing with everything, and we're already not thinking of anything in connection with Krishna, then Krishna's pointing out what major aspects would be easier to, when considering them, that might make you remember that, yes, this is God's energy. He told him that he was Vishnu among gods, the sun among planets, Shiva among Rudras, and Meru among mountains. He described himself in many ways, revealing to Arjuna how he was present in everything Arjuna saw. Concluding his description, he said, "Know that all opulent, beautiful, and glorious creations spring but from a spark of my splendor. Is there any need for so much detailed information about me? With a tiny fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe." So Krishna being unlimited in his power, the amount of power that it takes to maintain this universe is a very small fraction. So then you can understand is how great Krishna is. So that's why then, you know, some prominent elements you bring out. But also what should come to mind is that if this is only a small part of his opulence, and this small part is so amazing and wonderful, and, you know, the power of the ocean or the wind and, you know, beauty of nature and all these things. And if that's only a small fragment of his opulence, then what's the opulence of him, you know, in his full form as Krishna and, you know, the spiritual world? Because the material world is only just a small part to run it. It's like a reflection. Tears streamed from Arjuna's eyes, remembering how he would often sport with Krishna as if he were an equal. He said in a choked voice, "Only out of illusion did I ever believe you to be a man like me. That illusion is now dispelled. I am convinced of your supreme position. But, O greatest of all personalities, there are many who will not believe this truth. Please, therefore, show yourself in all your majesty. I too desire to see that great form which pervades and supports the worlds. If I am able to see it, O Lord, then please display it to me now." Right? So how he's manifesting is everything, and show how he's doing that, how he's expanding that form, because that we don't see. It's subtle, right? You know, and so the Lord being transcendental, and then how he does everything, it's just through his energies, then it gets accomplished. So then Krishna, you know, he said so he wants to see that universal form. Krishna assented to Arjuna's request. "See now my mystic opulence, O son of Kunti. Here are my hundreds and thousands of varied divine and multicolored forms. My dear Arjuna, I shall bestow upon you divine vision, for you cannot see me with your present eyes." It means the material eyes can't see how Krishna, who is transcendental, is pervading everything. Because the soul, being covered by the idea that I am controller and enjoyer, you see things separate from the Lord. That then, you're identifying only what's external to you. And so then, that covering then becomes what is called the linga sharira, the subtle body. So that polluted consciousness then, as it becomes grosser, it becomes the intelligence, more, and when it comes in contact with the senses, you know, through the body becomes the mind, and then the gross body according to your actions and is manifest. So the natural spiritual form of the living entity is covered. And in that covered position, even though this soul by nature is spiritual, there's a slight glimmer that there's a connection that I have a body, I have a form, and one identifies with it. But being covered by the gross and subtle body, then through the nature of the mind and the ego, then you identify with the gross body, not the spiritual, because that means the spiritual body has meaning when it's in context with the Lord. But when you leave the Lord out of it, then you're only going to see that consideration of I in connection with material nature. So, therefore, the gross eyes are made out of matter. They can only see matter. It's being controlled by the mind, which is also matter, but subtle. But there's a concept of individuality in that coming from the soul. But unless the soul is seeing with spiritual vision, then they can't see. So then Krishna is saying, I will give you this divine vision. Behold, O best of the Bharatas, that all you desire to see and all that you will ever desire to see in the future, everything moving and unmoving is here in one place. Because anything you want, it's there in the creation. But we're separated by time. But all these elements are always there in the creation. It's just a matter of a particular individual living entity due to his work, you know, good work in karma. Then he will then at some point see that. You know, just like the young man thinks, yes, I'm going to be a billionaire. But that money is not there. But then he works at it. And then with time, when he becomes a little more mature, then he's a billionaire. But that money was always there. Just he didn't have it by karma. But the principle of the money is always there. So all the opulences are always there. It's just according to your work you get. It's just like you go to a store. All the items are there. But you, according to your buying power, then you can purchase something, right? So in that way, that's what Krishna is then meaning here. As Arjuna looked on in astonishment, Krishna displayed his universal form. In Hastinapur, he had shown a partial manifestation of this form, but this time he exhibited it in full. You know, so it was shown there in the court of Dhritarashtra. It was just a partial, like that. This is the only time he's showing the full, like that. And so all the other times when he's showing, it's a partial. He'll do some part. It's enough. It's enough to bewilder everybody. Arjuna became aware of a vast form possessing unlimited mouths and eyes. Right? So it means every kind of mouth you can have, every shape, every variation is there. Every kind of eye, every variation, color, size, shape, anything, you know, all these things are there. It was decorated with countless celestial ornaments and upheld many divine weapons. Decked with celestial garments and garlands, it was wondrous, brilliant, unlimited, and expanded everywhere. It seemed as if hundreds of thousands of suns had arisen simultaneously in the sky. Arjuna felt his hair standing on end. He bowed his head to the floor of his chariot and offered many prayers to Krishna. In Krishna's divine form, he could see all the gods headed by Brahma and Shiva, with all the rishis, siddhas, and nagas. Every kind of created being appeared in that form. All the worlds were visible and nothing was missing. That means whatever there is in the creation, it's like everything is in one place at one time and you can actually see it all. And that's why he's here. Finding it difficult to look at the universal form, Arjuna said, O inexhaustible one, this unlimited body of yours is wonderful and at the same time terrifying. I see all the gods and rishis standing before you and offering prayers. As they are disturbed, so am I, dear Lord. Seeing this tremendous manifestation, I am losing my peace of mind and my balance. I cannot look upon your thousands of blazing, death-like faces. All the soldiers of both sides appear to be rushing into the fearful mouths of those faces. Indeed, you are destroying all men and everything else. Everything is entering your mouths as moss fall into a fire. Covering all the universe, you are manifest with terrible scorching rays. Because you have the time element. Time is what, you know, separates from things. Time is what makes things change. So then also you have birth, you'll have death. So that by the time element, which is controlled by the Lord, is one of his potencies. Therefore, when he says everybody is born, everybody dies. So now he's seeing specifically all the soldiers on both sides are rushing to the mouths of Krishna. It means death is there. One, you can just say is at some point in their life, everybody's going to die. But in here also then we see is that due to the battle we see, they're all going to die. Arjuna was trembling. O Lord of Lords, so fierce of form, please tell me who you are and what is your mission. Krishna's voice seemed to Arjuna to be resounding from all sides as he replied, I am time, O Partha, the great destroyer of all the worlds. With the exception of you, your brothers, and a few others, everyone will be slain. This will come to pass whether you fight or not, Arjuna. Therefore do your duty as a warrior and you'll become an instrument of my desire. Bhishma, Drona, and all the Kuru heroes are already dead. Fight without disturbance, Arjuna, and you will gain a glorious victory. Right? So he's pointing out that it's his desire because he comes to establish Dharma and to remove those who are irreligious or situations and anything like this. So according to his plan, instead of just doing it one who hears, like every day, so many living entities are dying, humans and animals and birds and bugs and everything. But we don't pay attention. Well, if you put it all in one place, at Kurukshetra, and then they all die there within the time of the battle, then we take notice. Like, we're still talking about Mahabharata, we're still talking about Ramayana, and even though it's been thousands or millions of years. But even though, you know, so many people may die, you know, over 18-day period, our living entities will die easily that many, if not way, way more, especially if you count all the bugs and everything else, then we don't take notice like that. So by doing his pastimes like this, we notice, and then we start to think and contemplate and reflect on what human life is for. So that's why in the pastimes, he does something that people will notice and will therefore remember. Sitting before Dhritarashtra, Sanjaya saw everything that was taking place between Arjuna and Krishna. He described it in detail to the blind king, telling him the exact words spoken by both. The king was amazed as he heard of Krishna's divine opulence. As Sanjaya tried to describe the universal form, Dhritarashtra felt his heart tremble. How could his sons face such power and survive? Yeah, that means, if we remember, everybody was telling him this before, and especially they were telling Duryodhana, but they don't care. How now Krishna was saying that all the Kuru heroes had already been put to death by a divine arrangement. Could it be true? Was Krishna really able to make such a prediction? It's like, he is time, he said. So, it seemed that not everything was in his power. After all, he had come to Hastinapur seeking peace and had failed in his mission. See, that's the thing, is that Krishna mentioned in the Gita that fools deride him when he comes in human form because they just take him as just like him or even less. Duryodhana thinks everybody's less than him. And so he came for pastimes because he came there to give them their choice. If they want to go for a peaceful solution or not. Since they didn't, then this is what's arranged by the universal form. And so then, you know, but then fools will take it, no, but he wasn't control of this or that or all these things. Perhaps he would also fail to fulfill his desire to see the Pandavas victorious in war, right? Ever hopeful, Dhritarashtra. Foolishly so. Sanjaya, right, you know, it's one thing that you're an optimist, that's great, but when the sages and the scripture and everyone tells you don't do this because it's against scripture, it will give you a bad result, you don't remain an optimist, but, oh, maybe I could do it and it wouldn't happen. Maybe Shastra's wrong. Maybe all the sages are wrong. Right? Sanjaya told the king what Arjuna said to Krishna after he heard that all the fighters would be killed. But Arjuna could understand Krishna's desire, and he replied, all this is done rightly. O Lord, you are the protector of pious and perfected beings, and the destroyer of atheists and demons. This is for the good of all, for even the demons will finally be brought to their senses by this treatment. O Almighty One, everyone should simply offer their obeisances unto you. You are the ultimate sanctuary. Knowing everything, you are all that is knowable. I fall before you again and again, my obeisances from every side. O Lord, I have obviously disrespected you until now. Please forgive me. Not knowing your glories, I have lain with you on the same bed, jested with you, and surely dishonored you many times out of madness or love. O infallible one, please excuse me, even as a father would excuse a son or a lover his beloved. Sanjaya sat with his eyes closed, envisioning the scene. He saw Arjuna bowing at Krishna's feet. As Arjuna stood up, he said, O Almighty One, having seen this form which I have never seen before, my mind is filled with fear. Please be gracious and allow me to see your beautiful Vishnu form with its four arms and divine decorations. Krishna said, happily have I shown you, by my spiritual potency, the supreme universal form. No one else has seen this form. Not by any means can it ever be seen. You can't just on your own say, I'm going to see this, because it's just Krishna reveals himself. He being transcendental beyond everything and being the source of all potencies And we, being just a fragmental portion of one potency, we can't control the energetic, being a fragmental portion of energy. So that when he says it's never can be seen by anyone, that's just the way it is. And Arjuna saw it, brings great awe and reverence. But as far as that wonderful relationship, interactive between yourself and the Lord, you see Arjuna is coming back to that. So we're seeing the greatness of the Lord. Then we're seeing how he controls all his energies. Then it will come back to how he relates and interacts based on relationship with the devotees, right? So you're seeing all three features. Oh, Arjuna, you have been disturbed and frightened by this horrible feature of mine. Let it be finished. See now my Narayan form and be peaceful again. Krishna withdrew his universal form, and Arjuna saw before him the graceful form of Narayana, with his forearms holding a conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower. After some moments, that form again changed to Krishna's original two-arm form, from which all other forms emanate. Right? So Krishna himself is original form. To control the universe, then he expands as his Vishnu form, with forearms. And as the basis of the whole cosmos, then his energies expand. That impersonal aspect is there, on which everything is based, the form of existence, and the existence, the principle of existence, and the existence of all qualities and all, knowledge and combinations of those, that everything can be manifest. Arjuna regained his composure and felt encouraged. Krishna said, O Arjuna, although my universal form is difficult to see, it is even harder to know my original form. Right? Because to know God's great and all that, that's not so difficult. To know that he controls everything and all that, it would be naturally appreciated because that's the definition of God. But to know his original form, where he just interacts, on a level that matches the mood of the devotee, that's the most difficult, because in that, then Krishna himself is giving himself as a person. So only someone who's based in pure love can come to that platform, because then out of that love, you'll never do anything to disturb Krishna. And Krishna reciprocating that mood will never do anything to disturb the devotee. And so then everything works very, very wonderfully. These other forms, these other aspects are much easier to see. It's still by Krishna's grace. The gods are always seeking an opportunity to see me as I now appear. This form is the most dear and can only be known by undivided devotional service. Only in this way can one enter into the mysteries of my understanding. Right? So understanding his original form based on rasa, or relation with the devotees, his Vishnu form based on controlling the cosmos, and this aspect of Brahman in which he pervades everything. And is the basis of everything. So these three features are there. So knowing the original form, that's the one that is more difficult, so it can only be approached through pure devotion. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.